Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Truth, Rav. I am Donald Hartley, also known as the Catholic Defender. I am so excited about tonight's guest, Sister Mary Teresita from Nigeria. She is a missionary serving in Nebraska, and she's going to be here on line tonight to give her story and how powerful that is. Before I do that, though, first I want to bring on my co-host from the great state of Ohio. How's Margie from the Ross and Margie Show? Good evening,
Margie.
Oh,
I'm doing great this evening. Glad to join you.
Oh, it's always it's always great when we come together and in the name of Jesus and to proclaim the gospel. Speaking of which, you know, because we have Sister here tonight, and I just think it's so interesting, I was looking at Psalms 45, beginning. Well, let me go just verse 11. Actually, verse 9. I want to just start off reading with verse 9. With myrrh, aloes, and cassia, your robes are fragrant from ivory-paneled palaces. Stringed instruments bring you joy. Which, is, you know, Margie, that's also very important to me, because if the Lord likes music, I feel good because I do too. Daughters of kings are your lovely wives. A princess arrayed in Orpheus gold comes to stand at your right hand. And we know who that queen is. You know, that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. Well, it goes on to verse 11. It says, listen, my daughter, and understand, pay me careful heed. And I want to get where I was going to. All glorious, this is beginning with verse 14. All glorious is the king's daughter as she enters, her remnant threaded with gold. Now, this is an allusion, or this is just depicting the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary here. And then, you know, that's interesting when you think about that. In embroidered apparel, she is led to the king. The maids of her train are presented to the king. You know, Margie, how wonderful that is. You know, this is speaking about those religious who follow Our Lady. And, that, you know, the maids of her train are presented to the king. Ain't that so awesome?
Yes, that's beautiful. And what a blessing they are to the church.
Oh, and so important, and no question about it. Well, before we bring on Sister, would you go ahead and do our a prayer? Give us a little beginning prayer here.
Okay, absolutely. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. I also wanted to begin with a prayer, since Sister is from Nigeria, and we know that the church is horribly persecuted in Nigeria. I wanted to also say a prayer for Christians that do face persecution. O Lord God, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered and died for us. In his resurrection, he restores life and peace in all creation. Comfort, we pray, all victims of intolerance and those oppressed by their fellow humans. Remember in your kingdom those who have died. Lead the oppressors toward compassion and give hope to the suffering. And we ask all this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen again. Thank you there, Margie. Now, I'd like to go ahead and bring on Sister Mary Teresita. Please come on, Sister. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Donna.
Awesome.
How are you doing? It's awesome.
Oh, we're doing very well tonight.
Yes, I'm doing all right.
Outstanding. Well, I'll tell you, you know, I got a chance to meet Sister this last Sunday at just right outside Kansas City, Missouri. It's actually in Kansas. They're at a parish called Divine Mercy. Now, isn't that awesome? You know, Margie, isn't that a great name for a Catholic church right there, Divine Mercy
absolutely.
Parish?
Yeah. It must be a rather new parish.
Yes.
I don't know. It's a relatively new parish. I'm not sure, but they were on dynamite.
The parish used to be Sacred Heart, and one other parish joined together, so they came up to this Divine Mercy name as a new parish.
Wow. Well,
that's appropriate because the Divine Mercy has such a relationship to the devotion to the Sacred Heart, so they're very much linked. That's wonderful. Yeah. I was wondering how you met up. I thought maybe you were traveling or met on Facebook. I was wondering how you had met Sister.
Yeah, I was up there. One of our sons is stationed up there in the military, and my wife, she's doing travel nursing from Colorado, and we all just kind of met there, and I wanted to go to Mass, of course, and I was up there at the, one of the food grocery stores up there, and I wasn't sure exactly how to get to the Catholic Church, and while I was up at the store, I asked I asked one of the workers there, "Where's the Catholic Church in town?" He didn't know, which is a bad sign.
Yeah.
But one of the members of the Knights of Columbus was there, Mr. Dan Quinn. If you're listening out there, how you doing out there, Dan? And also Bruce Hughes, he's also a person that Sister and I met Sunday, and he should be listening in. So I'm saying hi to Bruce out there as well. But when I went in there for Mass in the morning, for Sunday morning Mass, I got a chance to meet Sister, and she's got a powerful story to tell. Sister, can you go ahead and just, now you were raised Catholic, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, the Catholic Church in Nigeria, is that a minority there, or how strong is the Catholic Church in Nigeria?
It's quite strong, but what happened is that we have different, east, west, and north in Nigeria. And the eastern part of Nigeria are mostly Christians, very strong Catholics. But the northern part of Nigeria is where the Muslims are. That is where they are minors. They're like 20% of Catholics down there, and that is the heart of our mission. But I was born and bred at the eastern part of Nigeria.
So you have a very strong Catholic background. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters.
Wow. And so they're all like you, very strong in the faith, I hope?
Yes, they are.
Oh, now, Margie, kind of, ain't that something? They're in Africa. They're in Nigeria. You see the family unit strong. That's exactly what we need here in America. We need our families to be this kind of, to be strong like this. And that's one reason why Sister and a number of her group from her religious order, that's Ad Gentes, it specializes on evangelization. That's one of the reasons why they're here, set up in, is it Lincoln, Nebraska, Sister?
Omaha, Nebraska.
So you've actually become a member of the Cornhuskers up there. you join the Cornhuskers. That's what's so interesting, because that's kind of an inside thing there when you look at Nebraska, you got Missouri, you got Iowa. Well, they all have bragging rights on who grows the tallest corn. The Cornhuskers,
Yes. We grow our own too in our compound.
What? So you grow your own food in your own in your compound there in Nebraska, in Omaha?
Yeah, we have a little garden of tomatoes and pepper. We have not grown to plant corn yet.
Well, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how you all move up the chain on how tall you are able to grow your corn stalks up there.
Yeah, we will. We will soon.
Wow. Well, Sister, now you say that you are from Nigeria. Have you seen some of the persecutions that are encountered up there in the north of Nigeria? Have you ever felt that or were threatened by that at all in any way?
Sure. It's disheartening. Sometimes you feel like you just run away. Just run away from the scene. But if I run away, what happens to the people I take care of? What happens to the people we are giving hope? Our presence is what they need to remain strong and focused. Back then in 2001, in 2011, we had a bomb blast in a church, one of our churches in our mission land, and about 40 to 50 persons died. The church was blown up and many things were destroyed. And every now and then they will send us information telling us that, oh, we are coming to bomb your school. Oh, we are coming to bomb your house. And right now you don't go to church with a handbag or something that is, you cannot, that is invisible. You have to show what you have. If it is Bible, you open it and stuff like that. So it's so uneasy on people around us and on us too. So it's very, very pathetic.
That is so tragic, especially, well, in any case, but when they are threatening children. Have you actually seen that aspect of it, where they threaten children, school children?
Sure. 2 weeks ago, a school was burnt down, and so many kids were killed in the north.
That is tragic.
It is. It is very, very tragic.
Now, do they bring these individuals to justice? Do they take active measures to go after those who commit these kinds of crimes?
Yeah, they do. They do the little they can. The forces back home in Nigeria is not as strong as that of the U.S. Citizen here. But they are doing all they can to get all those people to justice. But you know, sometimes it's difficult. In a society when somebody is sponsoring those group of people who is in authority, it's difficult to get them to justice when someone that's supposed to get them to justice is the one sponsoring them. So it's sometimes difficult to get them to justice.
Well, that's something for here in America. We don't ordinarily see our schools bombed or our churches. You know, when I was in Iraq, we saw this, and it is so tragic whenever and wherever you see this, because we know that the church is under persecution in many parts of the world today. And in our own country here, I think it's very interesting that there is a persecution of Christians that is taking place that is on the horizon. I don't know if we pray to God that it doesn't get to the extent that we're seeing in Nigeria, but the church will undergo some persecution. Margie, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I'm not sure that I understand all the political, you know, things that are going on in Nigeria, but am I correct to say that they're trying to form a Muslim state in that area? Is that what's going on, sister?
Somehow, yes. They want to turn everyone to become a Muslim.
So you're being singled out specifically because you're Christians. Now, are all your brothers and sisters, they're still over in Nigeria?
Yeah, every one of them is in Nigeria. But, you know, like you have East Coast here, West Coast, like that in Nigeria, we have North, East, West, and South. The problem is mostly at the northern part. But we grew up in the eastern part of Nigeria. So we don't have that kind of, it's not high at the eastern part of Nigeria. Nigeria is quite large.
Now, were there other vocations in your family, or are you the only religious of the family?
I am. I'm the only religious in the family.
And when did you come to the United States?
I came in here April 28, 2012.
Oh, so you haven't been here that long.
Yes, I'm just a baby of the country.
Well, she was just, I want to invite her to come down to Texas sometime, you know, to really see what America really truly is. If you want to see a true America there, sister, you got to come to Texas.
I'll be glad to do that.
You know, well, I think that would be great. And this religious order that you have, I was looking at your pamphlet and I wrote about this. I put it in the article on Deeper Truth, but that you all are agents of evangelization. So that's what your mission is, really. I mean, that's your first love is evangelization and trying to bring the Catholic faith to the world. And I think that is so powerful and important.
Yeah.
Do you get a chance to teach young people up there in Nebraska?
Yes, but like I'm just new in the country, and during my talk last Sunday, I mentioned that we are just 10 years old in the world. We are a young community and growing fast. Doing something great, work here in the parish. We are invisible somehow, but we are doing great, reaching out to people in a little way we can. And one of the things we do very greatly here is reaching out to the old elderly ones in their homes and giving them care. Those who needed to be cleaned up, we clean them up, clean their room, houses, get them something to eat, and you know, make them happy, give them smile, give them hope. In our article, you will also see that we are oases of, we committed to giving hope where violence and hatred has taken place, hunger and discrimination. Try to bring hope to people. That is mostly what we do here in Omaha. We are getting into the young people, teaching young people, but we've not really done that in a wider way. We are getting into it. We are just young and we are just two here in the United States. So we are coming up. Our young ones in Nigeria, we have 9 postulants, those information, and 2 novices. And when they get the effect, when they are here, the work will be shared. We'll get into so many things, but now, being that we are just few, we can just do what 2 people can do. Yeah.
Well, I noticed that you were founded in 2003,
yes.
And I believe it began in Omaha, Nebraska. So your order actually started there by a priest in Omaha, Nebraska. So I guess this is kind of like where your headquarters is.
Yeah, he's from Nigeria, so he wanted to bring it home. You know, when we talk about evangelization, the Western world brought Christianity to Nigeria. So we also want to come up with our own evangelization to reach out to our own people and to reach out to the world. So he came home to Nigeria. Our headquarters is in Niger State. Niger State is in the heart of northern Nigeria. It's Mina Diocese. We are under Mina Diocese in Niger State.
Well, I know. I remember growing up. Oh, go ahead.
I didn't understand it, sister. Did you receive your vocation when you were in Nigeria, or could you tell us a little bit about how you felt called to religious life and when that happened?
Yes, for sure. I'm not quite correct now if I'm 12 or 11 or 13. When I was preparing for my first Holy Communion, we go for catechism. We call it catechism, and you call it, what do you call it here now? I don't know what you call it here, RCIA or something. Religious ed. You call it religious ed here. Back home we call
RCIA. I got what you said. Yeah, RCIA.
Yeah. Religious aid. Education. So back home in Nigeria, my dad is a catechist.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
he was a catechist? Okay.
Mm-hmm. My dad is a catechist. So in the night, we come around in front of our house, and he tells us the stories about the saints. So oftentimes, we tell different saints, different stories at different times. So one of these days, he was telling us about Saint Maria Goretti. And I was like, wow, she's of my age then, so I can do what she has done, you know. I think that was how I got my vocation. And I began to think, what can I do to live a life like this young girl? And when I grew up, finished my high school, I decided to, I think, to do that, I have to be a nun. And that was how I got my vocation. And like that, back home in Nigeria, not here, I became a nun before coming to the United States. That was years back.
So you came into the United States already a sister then?
Correct.
And St. Maria Goretti was who inspired you to look into the religious life because of her commitment and devotion to Jesus. That's a powerful story. St. Maria Goretti is one of my favorite saints as well. What a great example she gives. And Alexander as well, who converts because of her intercession.
Correct. You're right. You know, when I go for my mission work, like right now, tomorrow, I'll be traveling to Connecticut in East Coast to talk about our mission too, like I did in Kansas City last weekend. I tell parents that they are the carrier of evangelization, the primary carrier of evangelization. And if they're able to impart to their children the word of God, the knowledge of God, it will be difficult for that to leave them. Even when they leave the house, they will always and always remember one or two things that their parents told them when they were growing up. So I use my story oftentimes as an example when I talk to parents that if not for my parents, my dad will always, you know, those days we don't have electricity, there is no television, there is no television, for instance, so nothing like you sit in the sitting room and focus on television. So we focus on each other. He tells us this story about the saints every night, different night, different stories, sometimes from the Bible. And that was how I got my vocation. So parents can actually impact this knowledge to their kids, and before you know it, they are something else. I want to be a priest. I want to be a nun. It cannot just come from the air. They need to get it into their head. I was telling the young boys and girls down there in Kansas City last weekend that, come on board. The urgency of evangelization is too high. Come on board and let's do this together. And they were happy, I think. I believe that one day that God will touch their heart and they will come on board.
Well, your father's very smart because, you know, children are always looking for role models. You know, here in the States, they're looking towards movie stars and sports figures. And what better role models do we have than the saints that have gone before us? And their stories are so amazing. And, you know, they're more amazing than any story of any actors or Hollywood figure that we have out there. So your father was very smart to you know, at a very young age, feed you these stories of these saints. So they became your role models, and there a vocation came from what he did. So that's a beautiful example as what we can do as parents, to teach our children about these saints, so they can have a role model that that will lead them to live their life as the will of God. And when we follow the will of God, that's what leads to true happiness. And that's what the saints did. They always followed the will of God in their life.
Sister, you were introduced to the Catholic Hall of Fame. That's really what it amounts to, because Saint Maria Goretti and all of the, I mean, think about that. That is so powerful. And what I agree wholeheartedly with what Margie was just saying, the importance of parents. And it's really interesting that you had no television, you had no media outlet per se, but your dad would gather everybody together and read the Bible and tell the stories of the saints. That's an amazing. That's and that wholesome there. I just can't help but think that. That should be a draw for anybody to put some time to set aside for giving God glory through his church. And what a foundation your dad gave you.
Yes.
What a foundation. You know, so I bet you, when you think, when I was in college, one of the coaches that I had, my basketball coach, when I was talking, and he impressed this upon me. He told me that when he was growing up, the thing that he remembered the most and cherished the most growing up wasn't always the big trips that they took for vacation and all these things, but the thing that mattered the most to him, that he cherished the most, was when they would, when the parents would get the children together and they would pray the rosary. That's what he took. That's what he remembered, and that's what he cherished above all things. And I think that is,
that's
parents
awesome.
That are doing that. That left an impression upon me, so that when I had a young family, that's what I set out to do as well, was to lead my children, lead my family in a, doing the same kind of things that gives them that kind of foundation. And I think that's important. It's very critical for young Catholic parents to be doing that, giving, because right now in the United States, there is a lot going after our young people. You put them into public school and they're out there trying to indoctrinate them with all this junk. Is that the best way to put that? That's what they're trying to do. And so we have to really be aware of what's going on. Evil company corrupts good morals, and that's exactly what I think is happening. And so, Sister, looking at some of what you all do, you have a very strong love for the scriptures as an order you do. Do you read the Bible quite often, every day, every night, most of the time? How do you look at the scriptures, Sister?
Everything about Christianity, when you go to church, everything from in the name of the Father to the end is about scripture. They are all coming out from the scripture. And when you go to Mass every day, you pray the prayer of the church, the divine office every day.
Yeah.
You find yourself reading the whole of the Bible before a month goes by. So I'm praying with the scripture too. But in our community, we pray five times in a day, pray morning prayer, office of the reading. We have our midday prayer. We pray the prayer to the divine mercy and by 3 o'clock, and we have our evening prayer and night prayer. Then we go to bed. Then, including other things we do, go to Mass and some cheerings too. So that is how we live our life.
So your life is all centered around the gospel. And also, I noticed that you have a very strong devotion to St. Augustine in your order.
Yes, we subscribe to his rules, The rule of St. Augustine is what we are following.
And we all know the story of St. Monica, who prayed for him for 30 years. That's always a good thing. We were just talking about family, the importance of never giving up and always trusting in God and believing in God. That when we think about it, God loves our children more than we do. And when they go astray, that concerns him more than it concerns us, as much as it does concern us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we pray for them, just like St. Monica, that's a great encouragement to moms and dads out there who do have wayward children, especially here in the United States.
Yes.
Well, one of my favorite saints is St. Rita of Cassia. And, she belongs to the Augustinian, or she belonged to the Augustinian order. And this past October, I was able to actually go to Cassia, Italy, and attend a Mass with the Augustinian sisters and visit the Augustinian monastery where she, she was miraculously entered into. So I love the Augustinian order and St. Augustine. Now, Sister, could you tell us what saint you have the name Teresita? What saint is that after?
You know, little Teresa of the Child Jesus in Spanish is Teresita, little Teresa.
Okay.
Instead of Teresa of little, just put them together, little Teresa, which is Teresita. It's actually a Spanish name.
Now, did you choose that name yourself, or was that name given to you?
It was given to me, and I loved it. I don't really know much about Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus before. I read about her, but I don't really know more and more about her until I was given the name, and I love the name, and I appreciate her, and I always pray to her for inspiration.
Do you have other sisters like Saint Catherine Labouré that the Virgin Mary appeared to in 1830, and Saint Bernadette Subaru, who she appeared to in 1848, 58. The Immaculate Conception. Do you ever think about those kinds of those saints as well, or other saints that that's inspired you?
St. Thomas Aquinas has inspired me so much. I read about him. I read his book, just a little, not the Summa Theology, the small one about his life, how he suffered, even from his own siblings and from his own family. But he was determined to serve the Lord. He was determined to reach out. He was determined to do what the Lord wants him to do. He didn't look back for whatever that is distracting him. I love him so much. When I was reading about him, I was like, wow, is this really why this saint is so much loved in the church? And another saint I love so much is St. Francis of Assisi. He left everything he had to serve the Lord. It's always good when you sacrifice things to be able to reach out to other things that cannot be reached out if you didn't look towards God. God is the source and summit of our salvation.
I like that story about St. Thomas. You were talking about St. Thomas Aquinas, and the situation with his family. His family tried everything to get him away from being religious.
Yes. Everything.
You know, they tried everything.
Yeah.
They even put him in jail, and then and when that didn't work, they tried to put a prostitute in there with him, and he literally beat that prostitute out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a real powerful story when you think about it, you know?
Yeah. So inspiring.
And then St. Clair, you mentioned about St. Francis. I love the story about St. Clair when King Ferdinand II's soldiers was rampaging throughout Italy, and they were coming upon Assisi, and the townspeople were going crazy because here comes the soldiers with their battle axes and their swords and their ladders to climb the walls. And St. Clair, she went before the Lord in the Eucharist, in the monstrance.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought the Lord out in the monstrance before the enemy as they were climbing up on the walls. And the Lord in the Eucharist became bright as snow, just like the Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And when the host became so bright before the enemy, they fell and they went back and they retreated in terror.
that's
just powerful stories.
It is indeed.
And so, your dad did a great job in bringing these stories to life and in your imaginations for your family growing up, no question about it. And I could tell, sister, that from the time when I first met you there at Divine Mercy Parish there in Kansas City, right outside Kansas City, you just had that dynamite appeal. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was a lot of fun. So, you know, everything is so good. I'm going to go ahead and put in a commercial real quick, and we will be right back. So hang tight for more and deeper truth. Hold tight.
Okay.
Over the years, we begin to realize how quickly life goes by. For some of us, our journey will end without notice. And when our transition into eternity begins, there won't be a chance for any do-overs. No time to rewind our life. No chance to choose a different ending.
Stupid little brain of yours to do any...
For the movie of our life can be used to judge us. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times. And joyfully revisit the good. It is then we will fully realize how our unkind thoughts and selfish choices wounded others and led us away from God, our loving Father.
You people are lazy.
And each time we ignored God's voice,
I think she's pregnant by somebody else.
No.
Our conscience grew more deaf and our heart hardened. Thankfully, you still can ask God to help edit your life story and create the ideal ending. No matter what you've done, there is good news. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it, Jesus can heal your memories and forgive your past if you accept His mercy. You really can be freed from the addiction of sin and find lasting peace. Imagine hearing God say after your life's movie, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It all starts by asking Jesus to help you now. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is your chance to begin an adventure with God that will last forever. Learn more at CatholicsComeHome.org. Trust in Jesus and find hope, forgiveness, and a more abundant and everlasting life. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
And I just want to echo that. If anyone who is listening tonight, if you have recently returned back to the Catholic faith, oh, how blessed you are. We just want to say welcome home. It says in James chapter 5, 19 through 20, that if someone has gone astray from the truth and then another brings them back, maybe you might have met Margie out there in Ohio, or maybe you might have met Sister Mary Teresita. They're in Omaha, Nebraska. Maybe you might have met one of those two. And maybe through something that they have said to you, you've come home to the Catholic Church. Well, St. James says that if someone has gone astray from the truth, and then if another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death and canceled a multitude of sin. And how important that is. When you go to confession, the Lord takes those sins that you confess, and He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He remembers them no more. And so how powerful that is as Catholics for us to be able to utilize this gift, this mercy seat of God, that we can be cleansed. And not only do, you know, that's why, Margie, that's one reason why we're given a penance. You know, when you're given a penance, you're given an ability, you're given grace by God through that penance to fill the holes. You know, I was a combat medic for 26 years in the Army. And, you know, when you're trying to heal wounds, you have to heal them from inside out. Otherwise, if they're starting to heal on the outside but they're still infected on the inside, that's bad news. So you want to heal from the inside out. And that's the way that the Lord does it. He pours His grace in those wounds and He plugs those holes so that you are cleaned inside and out. Now, you know, it would take the Lord to do that. We can't do that on our own. And so that's why we trust in Him and we believe in Him. And so for those of you who have come home to the Catholic Church, welcome home. What do you think about that there, Margie?
Well, I think that is awesome, Donald, and I liked that commercial you played. That's one of the most powerful ones that Catholics Comes Home has done. And it moves me every time I watch it or listen to it, because, you know, in Scripture it tells us that, you know, we will give an account for every idle word. And,
yes.
You know, it's so easy for us to forget that, you know, when we wound our brothers and sisters, we're wounding, you know, the body of Christ, we're wounding the Lord. And the sacrament of reconciliation is, you know, not only heals ourselves, but it heals the entire body. It's important frequent confession. And so thank you for that commercial, Donald. That was wonderful.
Oh, I love those commercials too. And I've talked with the founders and owners of that, and they love the fact that we're doing it because that's what they're about. That's what we're all about here, Deeper Truth, Catholics Come Home, Catholic Answers, Defenders of the Catholic Faith with Steve Ray. That's what all of this is about, is bringing home those who have gone astray. And I know, sister, that's what you're all about, because you're all about evangelization. And sometimes that is even our own families, you know. And that's so important, the kind of work that you're doing. I was looking also, sister, on your pamphlet, and I was so I was edified to see that your patron is Blessed Silos.
You know. Yeah, Blessed Silos is a missionary of immigrants. He worked for the immigrants when he was when he was here in the United States. So our founder found him so interesting to entrust our mission to his intercession. He has visited his shrine at Louisiana. I think he's in Louisiana that his shrine is. He has visited his shrine and prayed for him when he was beginning this community. And through intercession, things were working out for him as God planned. And secondly, being the missionary of immigrants, his intention is to work with the immigrants. Right now, we are in the North Omaha. North Omaha is like the backside of the state, where the blacks, so many things are happening, inner cities, drugs, and so many things. So we found ourselves in that kind of setting. And through his intercession, we believe that we're going to work out something good.
Well, I know that there's a shrine of Father Silos there in New Orleans. And as
New
they say,
Orleans,
in Ireland.
Yeah, New Orleans, yes.
New Orleans.
I was missing it to Louisiana, yeah, New Orleans.
I was stationed there. I worked at the MEPS there in New Orleans. And so I would go to the shrine quite often. And I got a chance to meet pilgrims from all over the world who were coming there. I would get a chance to meet with them, and I would always kind of encourage them. I like that story about the lepers. You know, you had the lepers that the Lord healed, but only one came back to thank him. And so I encouraged pilgrims, if they received a blessing, if they received a gift from our Lord through the intercession of Saint or Blessed Silos, to when you go to Mass, thank the Lord, you know, to go to Mass and thank the Lord for the gift he has given you. And so what a great opportunity. And I will say one other thing about Father Silos. I had a third order, third class relic, a rosary of his that, it was a very, my mother was on her deathbed. She was, when I was in San Diego, California at a conference, and I called home telling them that I was coming home for leave the next week. Well, I was given the message that from one of my family members, my sister-in-law. She told me that what they had was a stroke. She had a stroke, and so that week was a concern for me because my mother's health. When I got there, my mother was in the hospital, so I flew in from San Diego to Springfield, Missouri, where my mother's from, and I went up there, and when I got to the hospital, she was in the hospital. The doctors pulled me to the side, and they said that she has 2 days to live. And that's a hard thing to find out when you get there. And my mother didn't want to die in the hospital, so we took her home to die, small little farm right outside of Springfield, about 40 miles outside towards Kansas City, actually, on Highway 13. But my mother, you know, we set her up and tried to, you know, make her as comfortable as we could. And I had that rosary. She had a what is called a blood clot that lodged in her right lower leg, and they didn't believe that she would survive the knife. That's why they only gave her 2 days to live because of the poison. Well, we put that rosary, a Father Silo's rosary, above the site where it was dead, and for 12 days, no poison went through. As long as we had that rosary on her leg, I was bathing that every day with holy water. We were praying. We were doing the divine mercy. When morphine and drugs would not help, we would pray the divine mercy, and that would give her peace. That was, to me, that just like, wow. Because that was seeing our Lord's promise in action. And literally, and I didn't even know necessarily at that time the Lord's promise. I found that out after that. But it sure had an effect on my mother in a very powerful way. And so, but anyway, I'll tell you one thing. When we removed the rosary, my mother made the decision through a miracle of the rosary. My mother asked me that, you know, I was sitting next to her bed, and she asked me, "Do you believe that the Lord will receive me when I pass?" And I said, "Mom, you know He'll receive you. You know He'll receive you. You can trust in His word and stand on what He says." And I began to sing to her a song that we sing at Mass called "Be Not Afraid," and she started to sing with me. And as we were singing that song, my wife, Gigi, was on the other side of the bed, and she hands my mom her rosary that she'd had for over 10 years. And my mother is clutching on that rosary as we're singing that song, "Be Not Afraid," in that moment. And at that time, that's when I just, you know, realized that rosary transformed from silver to gold in her hands. And that was a powerful sign for everybody there.
Wow. That's a great miracle.
Oh, it is. And for my mother, the Lord gave her another 18 months, to be honest. One last point about that, the rosary of Father Silos. My mother decided to go ahead and have her leg removed. They didn't think that she would survive it. But, you know, with all that we had just seen, she decided to go ahead and do it. So when we got to the hospital and we removed that rosary, as soon as we removed the rosary, I kid you not, her pulse went racing up to 210. I mean, we're talking about tachycardia to the max. It went from being normal to 210. Her blood pressure went down to 45 over 15, which, you know, it was normal. Her vital signs were all normal until I removed that rosary. In fact, when the hospital had to send her to to Cox Medical Center in Springfield, they had to send her over there because they didn't have the capability of doing the procedure there that they would have done had she not had these problems. And so it is just a powerful thing. The Lord, He does miracles and He gives us signs. And that's a powerful sign. And the rosary, you know, that was two kind of what I consider rosary miracles in one. Two different rosaries, but, you know.
Wow.
I know that, sisters, you all pray the rosary as a community as well, don't you?
Yeah, sure, we do.
And man, you know that it pleases our Lord so much to be able to do that. Oh, you know it does. Sister, I got a question for you, sister. Now, you heard about this verdict about the Zimmerman case. Has there been any issues or anything that you all have seen up there as a result of the verdict, or has it been pretty quiet?
The what? The Zimmerman?
Has it been pretty quiet? Yeah, the Zimmerman case, he was found not guilty, and it's been all over the country.
I know. Yeah. People talk about it, but nothing radical has been taking place. But, you know, people were saying that, well, that is not really a justice. And for me, I don't know much about how justice has been done in this country. But when you look at it, it's not really the true justice. The guy was set free because self-defense. What is he defending? The other little boy, does he have a gun? He doesn't have any gun. So So what is it? Why is it a self-defense? That is what I don't understand. Why did they say it's self-defense?
Well, the self-defense came about is because from what the trial showed was that Zimmerman was he was told by the police to back off, and because he was following them and he was following him and he was trying to find where he was, and there was 4 minutes where he lost him. He didn't know where he was. And so the police told him to back off, and so he was on his way back to his car, and he didn't know that this other individual, he didn't know what this other individual, who he was, or you wouldn't have known if he had a gun or not in that regard. But what happened was that on his way back to his vehicle, the other individual came up and punched him in the nose, broke his nose, and got on top of him and started doing what they call ground and pound. And that's when he pulled out his gun and shot him.
That's why they said it was self-defense,
because he was in fear of his life. It was a bad situation. It's a terrible tragedy, on all sides. And I was just kind of wondering what the atmosphere was like in your area, because it seems like all throughout the country all we're hearing is all these marches and demonstrations. What about you, Margie? Have you heard anything about it, or has it been pretty quiet?
Well, I live in a little town here in Ohio, so we don't we don't get affected as much as I think a lot of the rioting and stuff that's going on in the bigger cities. So we're pretty isolated here where we're at. We're about 45 minutes east of the largest city, that we're near is Columbus. So I like this small town life that we live in, and we kind of stay isolated from, a lot of that.
Hi, Maggie. I was in Ohio last month, first week of last month. I was at the Comboni House for a seminar, and I went to Holy Name Parish to talk about our mission. I love Ohio.
You were at Holy Name Parish?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yes, I've been there.
With Father McCarthy. He's been transferred now to another parish, but he was the one there when I went there at Ohio about like 4 weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You were very close to where I'm at. Yes, because that's my diocese. My diocese is the Columbus Diocese. So, wow, wonderful.
The world is too small.
Yes, it is.
If we would have had
this show a month ago, I could have met you there.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you'll have to tell me if you ever head up in Columbus again, and we can meet up.
Oh, right. Sure, I'll do that.
Yes.
Sister, do you travel? You say you're getting ready to go to Connecticut. Are you going to have another sister going with you?
No, because we are just two here in the United States, and during summer before summer, we write to different dioceses requesting to invite us to come and share our mission and our needs for our missionary work, our mission in Nigeria. Because I didn't say much about our mission in Nigeria. Let me use this opportunity to say a little about what we
please.
Do in Nigeria. In Nigeria, we have we are in a little village where I would say 50% Christians. In that village, there is no electricity, there is no water, there is no road, there is no clinic, there is no school. So, because of what we do, what the Lord is calling us to do in our mission, to reach out to people who are in need, to bring hope to people who are being oppressed, we decided to get to that point and meet the people who are there. So we have been able to open a literacy program for the adults and their children, because in that setting, they don't go to school. So they don't even know what is literacy. They don't even know what is basic education. So what we do right now is to teach them basic English, mathematics, hygiene, and some other things that will help them in life. And we have about 150 kids and about 50 to 60 adults. And what else? Because we don't have much space, people come to get admitted into the literacy program, but we cannot take them because we don't have space. So we go, we share with people what we do, and we want also to kind of build a clinic. We have been able to talk with the authorities in the state to give us electricity, but they are not forthcoming. So we are doing all these things on our own. So every summer, before summer, we write to different dioceses in United States here, requesting that they give us opportunity to talk to our people, what we do, and the needs of our community. And anytime that we are invited, during summer, we go to different dioceses and share our stories. So right now, we are just two, and we have to cover this mission within the summer period. So that's what we do. We cannot go two because we are just two. So one person goes to another parish or another diocese, and the other person goes to another diocese. My superior is Mother Lucia Benedict. She will be going to Omaha here this weekend. Meanwhile,
oh, okay.
I will be going to Connecticut this weekend. Then the other weekend, I will be in Omaha, and she will be in Kansas. Then
so you just kind of flip-flopped. You just
And first week of August, I will be in Florida. And second and third week of August, I will be in California. The last weekend, second weekend of September, I'll be in Omaha. So kind of do it that way, move around, share with the people what we do, and ask them for assistance. The people who are listening to us, whoever that want to support us for a long-term project, we will be glad to do that. Our first adult graduated from the school yesterday in Nigeria. So they called us and was telling us how tremendous, how marvelous the whole thing went. People were glad that, wow, they don't know what we are doing in that village until yesterday because we invited people from the city to come and share our joy. And everybody was happy. So we want to expand it to reach out to more people, not just in Nigeria, but other parts of the world where the gospel Christ is needed. You know, the gospel is not just preaching the word of God. You can also reach out. Like, you know, last Sunday, the gospel was a man who was being beaten up by an armed robber. Who treated him? A stranger. He preached the word of God to him just by attending to him. He didn't say a word. He just attended to his needs. So most often, this is what the society needs now, not our words. The society needs our action, just like St. Francis of Assisi said. You know? So
well, and Jesus set the example when before he preached to the people, he saw that they were hungry, and he fed them. So he attended to their needs. So our Lord said, example for that. Now, sister, is there a website or how would someone get into a contact if they were interested with your order or if they wanted to donate? How would they contact?
Our website is www.agentesmissionary.org.
Okay, what kind of missionaries?
Agentes. A as in apple, D as in Dan, G as in genital, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, E as in elephant and S as in sun. Ad gentes.
Now, how do you spell G?
G, yeah.
Yes.
A.
Yes.
D. G. E. N. T. E. S. A D is a word, and gentes is another word. The meaning is sent to the nation, sent to the world. It's one of the Vatican II documents of the Church, Agentes Divinitus.
Oh, and that's very, very powerful. And yes. We'll have this posted on Deeper Truth as well.
We have a Facebook too, Agentes Mission. If you just type Agentes Mission, you will see Facebook, and you will see me preaching to one of the churches, asking them to support us. One of our supporters videoed and they recorded my speech and posted it in our website.
I've actually been to the website. It's a really nice website, very informative, and tells a little bit about what you all do. And sister, that is a really important aspect of it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take another commercial break, and we will be right back and with sister, and we'll get closing remarks. We'll be right
all
back
right.
here on Deeper Truth.
Thank you.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am.
I feel alive, complete, and at home.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Over the years, we begin to realize how quickly life goes by. For some of us, our journey will end without notice. And when our transition into eternity begins, there won't be a chance for any do-overs. No time to rewind our life. No chance to choose a different ending.
Stupid little brain of yours to do any...
For the movie of our life can be used to judge us. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times. And joyfully revisit the good. It is then we will fully realize how our unkind thoughts and selfish choices wounded others and led us away from God, our loving Father.
You people are lazy.
And each time we ignored God's voice,
I think she's pregnant by somebody else.
No.
Our conscience grew more deaf and our heart hardened. Thankfully, you still can ask God to help edit your life story and create the ideal ending. No matter what you've done, there is good news. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus can heal your memories and forgive your past if you accept His mercy. You really can be freed from the addiction of sin and find lasting peace. Imagine hearing God say after your life's movie, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It all starts by asking Jesus to help you now. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is your chance to begin an adventure with God that will last forever. Learn more at CatholicsComeHome.org. Trust in Jesus and find hope, forgiveness, and a more abundant and everlasting life. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Well, that's exactly what we're all about. That's exactly what we're all about, is bringing them back home.
Thanks for the good work you do. is so amazing. You know, listening to your commercial is like, welcome home. Don't stop,
well,
stop wondering about. Welcome home.
Yep. That's what we're all about, is welcoming you know, people home. And there's so much. And what God has to offer, God, you know, God doesn't offer us junk. He offers us, it's not just a piece of dirt painted gold. It's gold all the way through. He offers us the best. And so we have so much to be thankful for in the Eucharist, which is not a symbolic symbol, by the way. It is the actual body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. It's not just a symbol that we go up there to receive. It's not just a piece of bread. But it's actually our Lord present.
Our Lord.
And when you receive it, when you receive it, you renew the covenant that our Lord established. When he says, for this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting
covenant.
There you go. See how universal we are.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the covenant is, there's so much to talk about. You know, we could do a show on covenant just on its own, because it's, you know, there's so much difference between a covenant and a contract. You know, a contract, if you got something that I would like to buy and you're willing to sell, we make an agreement, that's a contract. But but a covenant is an exchange of persons. That's why marriage is so important. You know, your marriage vows are so important, because it's a covenant. It's a sacrament, but a covenant. It's a very deep relationship. I am your God, you are my people. And that's the covenant that our Lord establishes and offers us, that we renew when we receive the Eucharist. And that is so powerful and important. And the Eucharist plays a very important role in the life of your order, doesn't it, sister?
Yes. Wonderful role. Because without her, Mother Mary is just this. Without her, you can't do much. She is just everything for us. Without her, there wouldn't be Jesus.
That is so powerful and important. Well, I got a prayer here that I want to go ahead and pray for you, sister, and for all of our religious. And I thought it was important, and this is good. It's a prayer to Mary for our sisters, or for our nuns. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O Mary, Queen, Spouse, and Mother of God, we ask you to intercede with God for one of the earth's most valuable and needed resources, our nuns. May their contemplative prayer be a source of power and energy which leads to the entire world to better see the face of God. May their service be cheerful, effective, rewarding, and Christ-like, because he has entrusted to their care his sick, his poor, his troubled brothers and sisters, and his children. May their purity and their burning love for Jesus give them unspeakable joy and ignite that same love in our hearts. May their detachments from material things and their attachment to the divine King and his kingdom shower both them and us with eternal riches. May their obedience and fidelity to the Church and to God's will give them strength, courage, peace, and contentment, and be an inspiration for all of us. In short, may they be perfect brides of Christ and more like you. Amen. In the name of the Father,
amen.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And sister, I just really want to thank you, sister. Now, sister, now that you know that you're a member of Deeper Truth, that you're invited to call in any time you want to, really. You're part of us now.
I know. I'm so glad I met you. It's just divine providence. And I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, on Monday nights, we pray the rosary and the divine mercy. We pray that on Monday nights. And on Tuesday night, we have the Ross and Margie show, the round table. And on Wednesday night, we have the Christy Martin, the Garden of Holiness show. And so we got quite a bit going on here, and you're invited to call in. And if you have anything that you would like to participate, especially if you want to pray the rosary with us, that would be a blessing.
that would be a blessing too.
Yes, to pray the rosary and the divine mercy.
Mm-hmm. Let me know on time so that if I have the opportunity to come online, we'll come online and we'll pray together. I told my mother superior, I told them, and they were glad that I'm having this opportunity. So I will tell them, and anytime you call us and we are free, we can come online and we'll all pray together.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That's our battle line. That's our weapon, you know. That's our weapon, is to be able to pray and open heaven up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, the devil, he doesn't like that. That's a good reason to do it, isn't it?
He doesn't like that at all.
Well, sister, do you have anything that you would like to finish? Do you have anything that you would like to put out before we finish tonight?
Yeah, I want to thank you, Donat, and Judy.
Margie.
Thank you. How do you know that's what I'm thinking about? Thank you so much for this great opportunity. I really appreciated that. You know, when you told me you're going to call me to come online, I was like, oh, wow, what's that going to be like? So when I went home, I told my superiors that, look at my experience today. And they were like, oh, wow. Make sure you have your phone with you so that you don't miss their call. So I was happy they supported me. I was so glad. So I thank you for this opportunity. And now I will always wish that we come online and talk about what we do, talk about our life, talk to young people, because without young people, our church is dying. Our church is dying without young people. Because tomorrow, the older ones will fade away and the church will die. Catechesis is handing over the doctrine, the tradition of the Catholic Church to generations upon generations. And if we cannot hand it over, that will be a disaster in the future. So I thank you for your good work. I thank you so much. I pray and keep praying that the Lord will give you the strength to continue to do this good work you do. And for all those listening to us, those who have the time to spend these few minutes and hours to listen to us, we may not have everything that you want to hear, but the little one we're able to put out, we appreciate you and every of you and your family. Continue to pray that God will bless you. Bless you and bless you. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Margie, you have anything that you would like to say?
Oh, absolutely. I want to thank Sister Mary Teresita for joining us this evening, and I'm really happy that I can call Sister my new friend, and it's always nice to meet someone new and also learn about a new order, the Gentes. And I also learned of a new Blessed. I actually was not familiar with Blessed Father Francis Silos. So I've also made a new friend that is a Blessed because of Sister being here with us this evening. So I'll have to study a little bit more about Blessed Silos. So I'm real, real blessed this evening to learn of two new friends that I have. So I'll keep you in your order in our prayers, Sister.
Thank you.
Donald, please join us anytime that you're able. You're most welcome.
Yeah.
And I'm really so thankful, Sister, that you were able to come on tonight. And very powerful, the story that's going on. We want to, in fact, That'll be part of the Rosary Patrol's petition. You know, we pray for the religious, but the persecuted church there in northern Nigeria and Iraq and the Middle East. This is important. It's important for us to hold tight and pray for those. They're not forsaken. And so that's something for us to always remember, that our freedom isn't always free. We have to, you know, we pay with it through our blood and treasure. And so we need to pray for the church throughout the world. And so I really want to, we're going to end this song with a song, sister, that I'm going to dedicate to you and your order. And by the way, this what we're doing tonight, you'll be able to catch. If you didn't catch it live, you'll be able to catch the archive. And so it's very easy to do. In fact, sister, were you able to find the Rosary Patrol, by the way?
Yes, I did. And I requested to be joined, and someone accepted me. I saw you dressed in soldier legalia in your Facebook. I did.
Okay. Well, then you'll be able to hear this on the archive, and people there in Nigeria will be able to hear it as well. That's what's so cool about it. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to play this song, and at the end of the song, I'll play one last commercial.
Okay.
And, sister, thank you so much for coming on. And so
thank
for
you.
Sister Mary Teresita, and for Margie, and for John, and Ross, and Greg, and all of the Deeper Truth family, we want to say good night and God bless.
Thank you.
Good night.
Hi, Donut.
Yeah.
Made you out of nothing in my image and likeness. Delighting you before you, there was nothing quite like this. Crown and glory of creation as the light hits. Fearfully and wonderfully made to be righteous. Before the world attacks me, there's something you should know first. It kills me when we're separate, and you don't know your own worth. You're indispensable, unforgettable, unbelievably magnificent. My love for you is infinite. Created you to love with the fire of a self-gift. When you're made it into taking, you fell quick. Heart turns to ice, turned to me, and I can melt it. There's no amount of sin and darkness that I haven't dealt with. Nothing can separate you from the love within me. I have a plan for your life that I want you to see. This doesn't change no matter how one is conceived. Whether they want you or not, you're wanted by me.
God has a plan. Yourself with your face in the muck. I can see you move mountains in faith and in trust. I know you haven't conquered your battle of wills yet. You're finding your design. You have your own unique skill set. One day we'll be together, but until then, I left behind my kingdom on earth for you to build it. Give me your heart and mind to be a new creation, not just in your actions, but how you view the nation. I know that you'll fall on more than a few occasions, but run to my mercy, and I promise you can make it. Your life is a painting, and you can see a brushstroke. To me, I'll supply you with enough hope and strength and endurance to conquer the rough road. God has a plan.
For me, so there's no need to prove it. You're beautiful. Let me show you how the shoe fits. Reveal you to yourself, so in fullness the truth hits. My plan for you is for joy and for greatness, to take you from the life of sin and bring you to the sacred. Come for daily bread and sanctifying graces. The graces that's so amazing you can taste it. I'm your rock stronghold, your firm foundation. Always here for you in love and in patience. I'll restore your soul every time the world takes it. Know that I'm with you till the end of the ages. By the light in the
divine. Now you're my sons and daughters, heirs in life's fated line.
God has a plan.
Family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.